I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast, presented by Allied Home Security.
So it's interesting. I'm getting texts, Seth, from people outside of the market with this Deshaun Watson news in the last 24 hours that the Texans are working towards a trade with the Miami Dolphins. And a lot of people wondering, okay, You're in Houston there, and the reports are coming from Houston reporters on this now, as opposed to national reporters. What's your read on it? Is this just more smoke? Is this just is this the Texans trying to drum up a market for Deshaun by putting stuff out there with the media? And my answer to them is I don't think that's Mark Berman's MO. John McClain's MO. I feel like when we see Mark Berman report on things, Mark Berman's not a guy who just is out there just to kind of start things up and get the clickbait going. Like he's,
I'll say this. Unlike some of the national reporters who almost are under an imperative to create a buzz on Sunday mornings before the game.
Yeah.
Like Berman's not that guy. He's not out there thinking like, I got to come up with something big today before I go on Inside the NFL or whatever those pregame shows are called.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, exactly. And so I bring up Berman because his is the first tweet that I saw with that. And as soon as I saw Berman tweet it, that was my first reaction was, okay, wow, this is Berman reporting this. So there's got to be something to this. I guess my question is, Seth, are there teams? Miami has been the leader in the clubhouse for a while now for Deshaun, and we know that Deshaun is very fond of Miami. That is a place he would approve a trade to, even with their 1-5 record right now, which is a whole other topic. But do we think that other teams are picking up the phone to call the Texans right now? There's now a willingness to move here that other teams are calling?
I would imagine so, and that's where I kind of wonder. I wonder with this, where sometimes maybe you always got to wonder, okay, where's the leak coming from?
Yep.
Who does it benefit? Because there's always a reason there's a leak. Usually. I mean, sometimes somebody's just trying to curry favor with a reporter or what have you. But a lot of times with stuff like this, if it feels like it's coming from a pretty informed place, which would have to be either an agent or one of the two teams, that somebody's trying to create some action or get something done. And yeah, like leaking this information and getting it out there might sweeten the deal, might put maybe hypothetically the Texans want to put some pressure on the Dolphins, and that once this is made public that, yeah, all of a sudden the phone's going to start ringing and some other team that's desperate might jump in with a better offer. I guess the thing that makes all of it more complicated is that Deshaun Watson has the no trade.
Yeah.
That immediately squashes any interest from various teams that Deshaun doesn't want to go to.
Sure. No, yeah, you're absolutely right. I guess just thinking with some specificity here, because look, we know the Dolphins and where they stand with Deshaun. Two other teams that had been prominently mentioned for Deshaun throughout the offseason and into the season, and teams that made moves at quarterback, but not franchise-altering moves. I mean, Carolina, and I'm referring to Carolina and Denver. Carolina gave up more than I thought they should for Sam Darnold. I mean, there's a second-round pick in that deal, if I'm not mistaken, and some other stuff for Sam Darnold. Not a big enough draft capital amount to where it should preclude them from pursuing Deshaun Watson. And then Denver, they went, they bought low on Teddy Bridgewater. They gave up like a 6th-round pick to Carolina, ironically, for Teddy Bridgewater. Those are the other two teams that I'm thinking of, Seth, because here's the thing. Miami is the one team that, like, of those teams, Miami really is probably looking at it going, God, even if we get Deshaun Watson, we're 1-5 right now. Like, are we going anywhere this year? Whereas I think Denver and Carolina I think they're both 3-3 now. But I think they had done enough. They both started 3-0, so they both had shown enough with everything else there to where they could reasonably look at their team and go, man, if we got Deshaun Watson and we go on a little run here in the second half, we could be a really dangerous football team.
Carolina is very much realizing, I think, that, okay, Sam Darnold has a ceiling on him.
Yep.
And, boy, he sure looks a whole lot better if Christian McCaffrey is there to catch balls from him. But that even in the Texans game where Darnold had a good game, you could see where there were very easy and obvious things Darnold could have done to turn that into an absolute slaughter. And he like way worse than it actually was. And he just didn't take advantage of those opportunities. And I think that I think they're probably, if they're looking at Deshaun Watson versus Sam Darnold at this point, they realize that, yeah, if we actually want to be serious about this and make a push earlier than later, it's got to be with Deshaun Watson.
Dude, I'm looking at this, and Seth, I'm thinking, okay, if the Dolphins give up what Nick Caserio is looking to get, or even just something close to it, let's say they give up 2 firsts and 2 seconds, whatever the case may be, and they've got multiple firsts next year. They've got San Francisco's pick this year. I think we can't reiterate that enough, that if you're somebody who's following this Deshaun Watson trade stuff, and who isn't right now that's a sports fan in this town, it's not the Dolphins pick that the Texans would be getting in a trade with the Dolphins, because the Dolphins don't have their pick. They have San Francisco's pick. So that's the team assuming that if a trade does get consummated and it involves first-round picks, San Francisco is the team that you're rooting for to lose a bunch of games, at least imminently this season. But I guess, I mean, are the Dolphins, Seth, are they, as a football team, I get it that the Texans have all sorts of other drama going on outside of just the product on the field, but let's keep it focused on the team for now. Is a team that trades multiple first-round picks and other picks for Deshaun Watson, that's currently 1-5, a much better situation than the one Deshaun's walking away from here?
No, God, no.
Yeah.
And I don't know if whatever his complaints are, and I told you this early on, whatever Deshaun's complaints are about ownership or structure or anything like that, is whatever those complaints are, you got to really have a mature understanding of what most NFL franchises are like. These are not, every place has dysfunction. Every place has maybe an owner that you don't consider the ideal owner for whatever reason, whatever that might be, whatever Deshaun's issue is with Cal McNair. And if he thinks that he's going to have some situation where he goes, where the owner is going to be pulling him in for high level discussions about personnel or something, and that he'll have more input, good luck with that. Like, and so for the Dolphins, to consider the Dolphins as somehow being a better destination, they haven't shown any evidence of it or reason for it, other than I think Deshaun might just think it's a better place to live.
Yeah.
He spends a lot of time in South Florida in the off season, and it could be as simple as that. And that, there's a part of me, like, and I try not to be petty about all this stuff, but I felt myself becoming more and more petty over time. That part of me makes me feel like, all right, well, you know what? Good riddance then. All right, great. If that's a more important thing to you, is living in South Beach, which you can for 6 months out of the year anyway if you want to, then so be it. It's frustrating.
Yeah. We got a lot of texts when we were talking earlier about the possibility of this trade including other players from the Texans, and I mentioned Brandon Cooks, you know, putting him in the deal to make sure the pot is as sweet as it can possibly be coming back. Someone texts in, Cooks could arguably pull in a first-round pick on his own for the Texans. He shouldn't be a throw-in to anything. I know, Texter, you put the word arguably in there, so you're caveating it a little bit. I think there's zero chance the Texans get a first-round pick for Brandon Cooks. Like, zero chance.
When Cooks got traded for a first-round pick on two separate occasions, he was a younger player, and it was to teams that had really low first-round picks. So, yes, that part, like, could another team say, yeah, we'll trade for Brandon Cooks right now because we're going to have a late first-round pick next year. We're a playoff contender. I don't think there are any teams that would still do a first-rounder, because when the Patriots traded for him and when the Rams traded for him, Cooks was a lot younger, and I think they were thinking, I know for sure the Rams were thinking, we're going to lock him up to a long-term deal, you know, which they did, and then they end up dumping him off to get rid of him. It's just an age thing at this point.
Yeah.
Teams, even if teams only want him for a year, they would want the ability to be able to trade him away again. Yes. And because of his age, you're not going to be able to do that. So, yeah, maybe a second round pick, but I highly doubt a first round pick.
All right. 713-572-4610. As people point out, for Deshaun, the better situation is the situation without Jack Easterby. And that's why I said, just purely from a football perspective, put the front office drama and whatever Deshaun feels about the organization and maybe the owner as well, put that aside. Look, Deshaun's always talking about being legendary. You know what I mean? Like, ultimately, what decides your level of legendariness is what gets put out on the field. I'm trying to pull up the Dolphins' schedule right now.
That is something, by the way, Sean. I mean, that's what happens when coaches are looking at an opportunity, when head coaches are looking at either NFL opportunities or college opportunities. That's the homework the coaches have to do is, okay, what is this ownership group like? How are they structured? Who has the power? In college, it's, you know, what's the relationship with the boosters? Who am I going to have to kiss up to when I get there? All of that stuff. And yeah, you're right. I think with Deshaun, it's probably the same deal. If he's going about it the right way, it would be, okay, here I have Jack Easterby and Cal McNair, who I might have personal objections to, whatever, versus, okay, what are the potential obstacles in Miami? And he's probably calling up, what's his name? His bud, the receiver that the Texans traded for with Tunsil, that I'm blanking on.
Kenny
Stills. Probably calling up Kenny Stills and saying, hey, how come you didn't like the owner there in Miami all that much?
Yeah, maybe
Tell me about it.
Maybe so. Yeah. I'll say this. Well, let me save this for the next segment. Like, I'm looking at the Dolphins' schedule. This may be one big reason why the Dolphins are looking to do this now. I'll tell you what it is, and we'll circle back to some Astros talk as well. Darren Revelle joins us at the bottom of the hour. But one of the big reasons why the Dolphins may be looking to do this, I'm looking at it right now on my phone. I'll tell you what it is next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so the Dolphins are the leader in the clubhouse to make a Deshaun Watson trade. Could happen this week, could happen before the trade deadline. If it were to happen, my guess is that, and McClain pointed this out yesterday on the afternoon show, Deshaun Watson could be the starter for the Dolphins in week 9 when they face the Texans. I would guess, Seth, that it would take a couple weeks. Like, if they trade for Watson, like, let's say the trade happened today. He's not starting Sunday against Atlanta, right? Like, if Deshaun Watson gets traded, how much time do you think it takes to knock the rust off for him? Like, how quickly do they get him plugged into the playbook and everything else?
George Godsey is one of their co-offensive coordinators who wasn't here with Deshaun, right?
Correct.
Was fired after the Osweiler year.
That's right.
But presumably a lot of the same terminology, concepts, all of that. So I think he could probably pick it up pretty quickly.
Okay.
It would be a few little, and they would kind of refine it and streamline it. I would imagine if Deshaun were traded to Miami, he would play that same week.
Okay. So let's say for sake of argument, let's say that whether Watson's on the team or not, the Dolphins split their next two games because they play Atlanta at home this weekend. I think they're favored in that game. And then they play at Buffalo on Halloween on week 8, and I think Deshaun could be the starting quarterback for them by then, and I think they'd lose to Buffalo in Buffalo. So let's say they split the next two. That would make them 2-6 heading into that Texans game. If you're making a trade for Deshaun Watson, Seth, as you've pointed out, it's obviously a trade not just for 2021, but it's a trade for 10 years. However, I do think there is an element that to get this thing done, Miami is panicking a little bit right now because they were expected to be a playoff team this year. They won 10 games last year with bad quarterback play. Boy, with Deshaun Watson, what could they do? If they're 2-6 heading into the Texans game, here's what the back end of the schedule looks like. Here's what the last nine games of the season look like for the Miami Dolphins. Now, keep in mind, this would be the Miami Dolphins with Deshaun Watson as their quarterback. Home for the Texans, win. Home for the Ravens, probably a loss, but you're much more competitive. You're more competitive with Deshaun, and that Baltimore defense is no great shakes. Then you're at the Jets. You're home for Carolina. You're home for the Giants. These are all games you'd be favored in with Deshaun Watson. Then you have your bye week in week 14. That's weird.
Yeah, they could do the indictment that week.
That's okay. Right.
And so, yeah. So week 15.
Here are their last four games. Home for the Jets, at New Orleans, at Tennessee, home for New England. So in those nine games, I'm counting at least six where you're going to be a substantial favorite in those games. And in the AFC, Seth, I don't know how much you've looked at the AFC in the playoff picture. Baltimore's the only team that's 5-1. Baltimore's the only team in the AFC with just one loss. Everything else is 4-2, 3-3. And with seven playoff spots, I don't think it's a reach in the AFC to think like 10-7 is going to get this done. 9-8 might get it done. You never know the way the AFC is unfolding to be a massive just pool of parity. All the good teams other than Buffalo, they're all in Baltimore, I guess you could argue. But most of the good teams are over in the NFC. You know, most of the teams people feel great about are NFC teams. So I wonder if there's an element to that with the Dolphins where they look at their schedule over the second half of the season. If we have Deshaun Watson, we could go on a run where we go 7-2 over the second half of the season.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they're thinking about for sure. They have a horrendous defense right now, including it's not just like some flukish bad defense or anything. Their third down defense is just abysmal. And we saw what happens last year when you have a quarterback who's passing the ball really well, but your defense is atrocious. It's very easy to only win four games in a year like the Texans did last year. So I don't know if an immediate, and then remember, I don't know what, I don't know Will Fuller's status is, whether he's coming back soon or not. And even if he does, do you expect him to be there the whole year? No, it's Will Fuller. This is what he does. Yeah, I guess I wouldn't be as bullish on them being the favorites in a lot of those games just because of the Deshaun Watson factor. I think it might end up being I think if Dolphins fans are thinking like, oh yeah, Deshaun Watson's going to come in and ship up, I'll remind them that last year Deshaun Watson wasn't even in the top half of the league in scoring. Yeah. The offense was not good. Despite his good passing performance, it's not as simple as that.
Let me ask you this. If you're Brian...
There's a bad offensive line there in Miami too.
It is, yeah. If you're Brian Flores, the head coach of the Dolphins, who's on the hot seat right now, I got to imagine, starting the season 1-5, look, Deshaun Watson makes you a better football team. Does the trade for Deshaun Watson heat up the seat for Brian Flores or make his job more secure? Like, what do you think Brian Flores is thinking today as he's watching these trade rumors?
I think it heats it up. Yeah. I think for sure. I think they turns into, okay, listen, look, we leveraged a lot for this guy right here to see what exactly we have as a football team. You've got this weird situation where you've got co-offensive coordinators. Like, there's everything about Miami where it looked like they might have a pretty good plan a couple years ago, especially when they were fleecing the Texans. It's kind of slowly and subtly unraveling as people are seeing that, okay, maybe you didn't have much of a plan at all. And including the fact that, hey, yeah, they got a haul for Laremy Tunsil. They still have no left tackle. Like, their offensive line is still in shambles. So if you're not doing anything with that haul, then what the hell are you doing? I guess the question would be, is there any kind of a power battle between Brian Flores and Chris Greer, their general manager? You know, is who's more desperate here, Brian Flores or Chris Greer? Who's got the ear of the owner? And I think Chris Greer... the power play would be, yeah, I brought in Deshaun Watson. This coach who can't even pick an offensive coordinator is going to mishandle Deshaun Watson. We need to get somebody else in here now.
Yeah, and I know I painted kind of a rosy picture over the second half of the season for the Dolphins if they get Deshaun Watson, and that obviously makes them a better football team. To be very clear, the my point with that was this is probably how the Dolphins are looking at it. I'm with you. Like Seth, I think, and that's why I bring up Flores, because I think there's a better chance. If you're asking me what's a better chance, the Dolphins make a run to where they're in the playoff picture in the second half of the season with Deshaun, or Brian Flores is out of a job at the end of the year and the Dolphins are hiring Eric Bieniemy or somebody like that next year, there's a better chance of that to me than there is of them getting back in the hunt in 2021, I think.
So I guess, and this is for anybody asking too, there are other people asking And this is a very good question. Like, why are they talking about the Dolphins? Why are the Dolphins the leader in the clubhouse if they only have one first-round pick? There's two things, two answers to that. And take these as being as valid or as invalid as you want, but these are the two most likely reasons. One, Deshaun has a no-trade clause that Jack Easterby gave him back in August of last year. And because of that, it's limited the pool of teams that are potentially in the mix by a long shot. So there are other teams out there. The Lions would probably give you anything in the world you want right now, but Deshaun's probably not going to want to go to the Lions. So there are other teams out there that just aren't even in the conversation. The other is that there's speculation and talk that the Tua Tagovailoa will go to a third team. That third team would send picks back to the Texans, so that sweetens the pot a little bit. And then you have the Dolphins' future picks for 2022 and 2023
That's right. The Dolphins only have one first-round pick in 2022. It's the 49ers pick. They do have two in 2023. They've got theirs and the 49ers pick. So
you could get those three first-round picks, which maybe, you know, their earlier report from a couple weeks ago that there were three ones and three threes, that may have been as simple as what it was.
And I would point out, too, the Texans, for the first time in forever, have their own first-round pick as well. So now isn't it wild?
Shut your mouth.
Seriously, go look it up. They have their own first-round pick.
How do you get one of those?
You just have to just not trade it away. That's all you have to do. It's just not.
You mean they give them out?
They give them to you. Each team gets one in each round, and you just have to not give them away for bad football players. That's all you have to do. I didn't realize you weren't aware of that. That's how it works. Yeah. So they would have their own pick. You're talking about making this deal pretty tasty. I mean, you'd have five first-round picks over the next 2 years. Now, I will also point out that the teams that have made trades for multiple first-round picks over the last few years, Jacksonville traded Jalen Ramsey. Where are they right now for two first-round picks? The Dolphins traded Laremy Tunsil for two first-round picks. Where are they right now? They're 1-5, just like Jacksonville. And they lost to Jacksonville last week. The Jets traded Jamal Adams for a couple first-round picks. Where are they right now? Oh, they're 1-4. I would even say that the Raiders, I know the Raiders are 4-2, but do we feel like the Raiders have really cashed in on all those picks they got for Khalil Mack? You know what I mean? Are they 4-2 because of those picks? I would submit no if you go look and see who they use those picks on. So it looks great, and it'll feel good to have first-round picks, and it makes for a lot of fun talk in February and March and April. But once you get names attached to those picks, that's where it gets real.
And I guess the million-dollar question that we'll never know is, okay, what would have happened if Deshaun were facing these allegations but had never actually been charged with a crime? You know, and as ugly and messy as this all is, in a way, Sean, the Texans can kind of – they got out of this. They will – when they look back on this in a lot of respects – despite all of the things the Texans have done to shoot themselves in the foot over the past two or three seasons, they'll have gotten out of this scenario relatively blame-free without ever having had to have made the decision to either allow Deshaun to play for them or to get rid of Deshaun. Yes. It was taken out of their hands by Deshaun Watson.
Yep. You know, that is a really good point. Like that would have been the discussions on what to do with Deshaun if he were still a happy Houston Texan. Internally, whatever discussions they would be having behind closed doors, like, okay, what do we do? This guy's our franchise. He's one of the best players in the league.
I'm just putting myself like in the owner's shoes because this is an ownership decision at that point. That's like you're balancing a whole lot of different factors. And I'd like to think I know what I would do, but you never really know until you sit in that chair and you have all these different pressures against you. But that's that all of a sudden that decision's taken out of your hands.
Yep.
You don't have to make that decision. It's like, he doesn't want to be here. Go. Okay, this seals the deal. We're going to figure it out. Get him out of here.
Yep. All right. So obviously as a station, be keeping an eye on that all day long here. The Deshaun Watson trade rumors. We'll circle back to the Astros between now and the top of the hour as well. Darren Revelle, Action Network, going to jump in with us for a few minutes. And we'll find out what people think of this 17-point spread on Sunday between the Texans and the Cardinals. That's next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We're efforting Darren Revelle of the Action Network. If we find him, we find him. If we don't, we don't.
Effort him.
Yeah, we are efforting. In the radio business, the word effort is actually used as a verb from time to time. Here's Dusty Baker reminding those of us who are peacocking around today thinking this series is over between the Red Sox and the Astros. Not so fast, my friend.
Well, I feel good. You know, I don't feel great. And I don't feel great until we accomplish our goal. And, you know, I've been up a couple times 3-2. I was up 3-2 one time in Chicago, and going back to Wrigley with, you know, Kerry Wood. Oh, yeah, and Mark Pryor pitching. And, you know, I was feeling confident at that time, but you got to get the job. You got to get the job done. You know, and you can feel confident all you want to, but those guys over there, you know, taking the, you know, the last breath and the final life out of anything is, you know, it's a tough road. They're going to fight you to the end. So it's just a, yeah, I mean, I feel good, but I don't feel great.
The mere mention, Seth, of Kerry Wood and Mark Pryor, that was back in 2003, I believe. 2003, 2004, somewhere in that time frame. The mere mention of them, to me, just hammers home how much Dusty has changed with the times through the years, because he was, for years, was vilified as the guy who ruined the careers of Kerry Wood and Mark Pryor because of overusage.
Right.
Now he's coming out and getting guys in the first and second inning. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Talking about using an opener for
right,
game six.
Right. Don't tell me Dusty can't change.
Well, you know what, Sean? It's one thing I was thinking about the other day, because I've told you before, I have a great fear of sounding old in this business. You never want to sound like the old guy on the radio, because then you're going to get replaced real quick. So I pay attention to people who thrive into their old age. And one of the most common things that I've noticed about them is that they don't spend a whole lot of time complaining about how much better things were back in the day. They stick and move and stay current, and you can know how things are different. And I think Dusty does this a lot. He notes how things are different now, but he never bemoans it.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is just by actually just having a genuine appreciation for the younger generation, how things will always be different. Like your parents thought that your generation sucked. Your grandparents thought that your parents' generation sucked. It's always going to be different. But the younger generation is going to be vastly superior in some respects. Maybe they're worse in some ways, but they're going to be vastly superior in some respects. And you got to have an appreciation for that. And I think that Dusty does both those things.
I think he's good at it. He's the opposite of Jim Cott and Buck Showalter.
Right, yeah. I think there's a reason Dusty's still managing.
That's right.
And Jim Cott and Buck Showalter are showing up unprepared to broadcast a playoff baseball game.
A day game in the ALDS, yeah.
Yeah, you know what? If Jim Cott were managing the Astros right now, he would have gotten up last night and he said, well, you know, back when I managed old Hoss Radburn, eight innings would have been a coward's showing. Eight innings. One time, I tried to pull old Hoss once after eight innings, and he shot my mule. I'll tell you what. Yeah.
Old Hoss. My go-to when I need an old baseball player is always Mordecai Three-Finger Brown. That's always my go-to.
Old Hoss Radburn's the best.
Is that a real person?
That's his actual – yeah. Old Hoss Radburn. Old Hoss Radburn has the second most complete games pitched in a season, I believe, was the record. Yeah, oh yeah, Old Hoss Radburn. I used to think it was just it is a fake Twitter account, but it's based on the real player, Old Hoss Radburn.
Old Hoss Radburn, nice. All right, so the Astros win yesterday, 9-1. Have you been following the National League at all, Seth?
I've been following the Dodgers, their slow demise down into the pits of
hell.
It
should be over right now. They should have swept them if they don't give up the 3-run home run to Bellinger the other day. The Braves are in the World Series, by God. But they're up 3-1. Familiar territory for the Braves. And unfortunately for them, last year they were up 3-1, and they did not close the deal against the Dodgers. I would imagine they're having flashbacks right now.
The Dodgers are banged up all the hell. Well, banged up, plus they have one guy who might be just downright evil, Trevor Bauer.
Yeah.
We're not sure yet about him. So he's not available either. But then Justin Turner's out for the rest of the series as well now.
Oh, okay. Oh, I just saw Turner. I wasn't sure if it was Justin Turner or Trey Turner that was out. Okay, so Justin Turner's out. Got it.
Unless I assumed it was Justin Turner.
I saw Turner. I don't know why the first Turner I thought of was Trey Turner, because Justin Turner's been there for this whole
time. Probably because last night when Yuli slid into home and he tried to make a dramatic show of it, I said that his slide is smoother than Trey Turner's slide by a long shot.
I don't know, man. Like,
there's no way. Trey Turner, if everybody do yourself a favor and Google Trey Turner slide.
Yep.
And it's a work of art, man. It is beautiful.
It is.
Yuli was funny because you knew – You knew he was doing something that he knew as he was doing it that it wasn't elegant, but he tried to make a look of it,
yeah,
like almost intentionally, and it was beautiful.
We found him, Darren Revelle, Action Network. Download the free Action Network app. All kind. We got basketball to add to the sports you can follow and, through the wagering.
And just real quick before we bring Darren in, Justin Turner is out for the remainder.
It is
of the
Justin Turner
with a hamstring.
Yeah. Gotcha. There you go. Okay, my least favorite Dodger. So there you go. Darren Revelle joining us on the program right now. Darren, how you doing?
Sorry, guys. I found myself. I found that my phone was on Do Not Disturb, and I was boy, like, where are the guys from Houston? Like, I'm looking at my schedule. I'm like, you know, these guys are late. And
nope.
All of a sudden, I noticed you called three times.
Yeah. No, it's all good.
That's a classic. Boy, isn't it great when you pull that mistake with your wife and you think you got the upper hand and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I was actually the jackass the entire time, honey. I apologize.
I've missed calls, yeah.
My thing with my wife is I always accuse her of moving something in the house and then it winds up, it's in my office. And you know, I go completely like, I know you moved it. You move everything. I'm like, oh, it's in my office.
Yeah, okay. That's a tough.
And
spot.
Then I don't want to say I'm sorry because I'm a man. I don't want to say I'm sorry. Right. So I'm like,
no. Apologizing is for weak.
I can't apologize.
Yeah.
Ultimately, though, she could have chosen to put it in a better place that was easier to find than what yours was. So ultimately, it is her fault.
Yeah, that's right. There you go. So, Darren, this 17-point spread for the Texans. I feel like every week you're going to come on with us, Darren, and we're going to talk about how big the double-digit spread is on the Texan game this weekend because they've been double-digit dogs last week against the Colts. They've been double-digit dogs two or three other times this year.
Well, if they're not going to win, and I know they did a couple weeks ago, but if they're not going to win, you might as well talk about the spread.
Yeah, well, because this is what makes it at least intriguing. What are the bettors thinking? What's the betting community thinking about this game this weekend?
The money is what seven. Our app shows that the money is 71% on the Texans.
Really? Okay. So a lot of people, that's a lot of points in an NFL game, 17 points. I mean, that's.
And both our experts who've engaged in the game have picked the Texans.
Well, that's what I wonder about with us, Darren, because you know how it is when you're covering a team locally, you're a little too close to things sometimes. And we have a tendency because damn it, we're talk radio hosts to hyperreact to every little thing. It was less than 2 weeks ago that we were heaping praise on Davis Mills for having a good performance versus a pretty good Patriots defense. But then we're
right. They lost, but easily covered.
Right.
Right, yeah, and it was, you know, Davis Mills could have won that game. It was so. Where are I?
But now you have a game you lost by 28, right? And the spread closed at 11.5. So it's just recency bias. And then of course you have the 40-0 game, which closed at a 19 spread.
Yeah.
So you know, you've now had. This is the fourth double digit spread, and the only double digit spread you covered was week one against, or what was that? Not week one.
Week
but
two against Cleveland. Yeah.
Week two against Cleveland. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let me ask you about that. You lost by
10 and you was 13.5. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me ask you about that Buffalo loss. Cause I'm always intrigued by this. I think that two things are true. I think both people overvalue and underestimate what weather can do to a football game. And I think the difference lies in the severity of the weather. Because I think sometimes people think like, oh, wow, this guy, look, these guys are playing quarterback in the rain just fine. But then what you can't see on film is that it was a light mist versus like what we had in Buffalo, which was a ridiculous downpour that lasted for like three quarters of the game. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm guessing that gamblers are a little bit more attuned to the severity of the weather than maybe like the public at large.
For sure. And also, you know, although sometimes it doesn't come out, you know, wind is the number one thing. Wind, isn't it? Which is funny because people talk about snow, rain, and wind seems to be the number one issue. If you have a wind of more than 20, you have wind of more than 20 miles per hour is clearly in play on both, you know, the effectiveness of an offense that throws and you know, where the under is, where the total is.
Yeah, and I think that's probably because that's easier to measure and see, because it's a definitive report of like, oh, it's over 20 miles per hour. Versus rain, it's like, okay, heavy rain, drizzle. The wintry mix, Darren, that's what you got to watch out for.
Yeah.
Wintry mix.
How do you, you're in Houston. How do you know wintry mix?
I grew up in upstate New York.
And so that's true.
Every Thanksgiving backyard game I ever played in was in a wintry mix. You know
the two seasons in Ithaca, right? Winter and road construction. Those are the two seasons.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Darren Revell, yeah. Action Network, joining us.
I thought it was going to be. Never mind. I'll get in trouble for saying this. Never mind. I'll tell you afterwards.
Don't get in trouble.
Okay. Darren Revell joining us from the Action Network. Darren, I'm curious if there's any sort of buy-in. It sounds like the betting community is not buying into what I'm about to say, but any sort of revenge factor for DeAndre Hopkins and J.J. Watt in that game this week. And it is, you know, for a game that's such a large spread, that is one of the more intriguing storylines this weekend.
I feel like I'm going to give that one to Seth, because, you know, like, I don't know. Like, does it really – I think, you know, J.J.'s done a lot better over the last couple weeks.
Yeah.
I think people were nailing him the first couple weeks. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure they have revenge when they're undefeated. Yeah. I don't think they give a crap. They're just so happy that they're out.
Yeah.
you know?
Yeah. Oh, no, absolutely. And Bill O'Brien's not there anymore. So it's, yeah, you're probably right about that.
If you guys want to bet on the most intriguing game of the week, yes, I encourage you to take a side on BYU Washington State.
Okay.
Because I actually did a story on that yesterday. I posted on my Twitter feed. Obviously, you know, the John Gruden fading the John Gruden-less Raiders didn't work out. But what do you do when 4 out of your 11 coaches have been fired because of, you know, Nick Rolovich and the vaccine, not getting the vaccine? 4 of your 11 coaches have been fired, including your head coach, your assistant head coach, and your offensive coordinator.
Do you feel like what has the betting community said?
It went from BYU 1.5 to BYU 4.5, and I think it's going to be 5.5 by the end of today and 7 by tomorrow.
Wow. Okay. Do you feel like, just your own feeling on this, like you said, fading the Gruden-less Raiders did not work out. They actually won outright.
I think that's a totally different story. I think they have the rest of the coaching staff. I think they have professional players.
Yep.
This is my biggest bet of the week, is fading Washington State. Mm.
What would the number have to get to for you to not fade them?
Oh, I mean, I got them at 4.5. I'd like to get it under 7.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So it's still 4.5. I think it's going to move a little bit more today.
So if it gets over, if it gets over 7, it's just a no play for you, but under
7.
Yeah,
I'd like it 6 and under. I'd like it 6 and under.
Okay. Okay. And that game's it's at Washington State, right? Is it at BYU or is it at Washington State?
Shoot, I should probably know that.
That's kind of a key thing, Darren.
No, it's not a key thing. Yeah. It's not a key thing now, because it's a S show no matter how much you break it
up.
Well, that's the whole thing. Yeah, that's already baked into the spread, and the thing that you're deciding it on has nothing to do with home field advantage or
true.
Exactly. Yeah. In fact, if it was at home, maybe it would be worse, because there'd be more booing or something like that. I don't know.
It's a 2:30 in the afternoon at Washington, in Pullman, at Washington State.
Okay.
So there you go.
Well, doesn't matter.
Spreads at 4 right now where I go for those.
No, okay. I got 3.5 this morning.
Okay. Nice. Darren Revell, Action Network. Darren, we appreciate the time as always.
You got it.
Keep it off of Do Not Disturb next week so we can find you when we need you, brother.
All right. Take care, guys.
Appreciate you. Darren Revell, Action Network, jumping on.
Or he could make us one of his favorite contacts, because that's how I have it. I've got your Do Not Disturb, you can accept for your favorites. So then I have my close family members as my favorites in case there's an emergency.
Okay, where am I on that?
That's, you know what? That's a good point. I hadn't thought about work emergencies. I better put it on there. You're right.
Make it awkward for you? You're in my phone as co-host.
Who's my... Who's my psychotic co-host?
That's right. All right. So as we wind things down, Deshaun Watson trade rumors. We'll be keeping an eye on that today. The reports yesterday that the Texans are working towards a deal. That's, I would say, a pretty specific language. They're working towards a deal, looking to get it done this week, hoping to get it done before the trade deadline, if not this week. And then tomorrow, game six, baby. We get to get ready for a game six tomorrow between the
game six on a Friday. How about that? Those are the baseball gods doing you a solid.
Oh.
There's nothing to, I mean, other than your stupid kids and their athletic events on Saturday, most of you have very little to worry about. You can just go ahead and enjoy the victory on Saturday morning as you try to, do something about your hangover.
There you go. There you go. Driving a soccer practice.
I'm just joking. I was only talking about those of you who do have stupid kids. Everybody else, your kids aren't stupid.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you clarified that. Text picks to 20357. It's the Rocket Mortgage 2021 Pro Football Pick'em. Do it now because Thursday night game tonight. Case Keenum, by the way, starting tonight, Thursday night football.
Yeah, Case.
The Browns. The Caser. Yeah.
I'm excited about this.
So you can pick him in the 2021 Pro Football Pick'em. It's sponsored by Rocket Mortgage. Text picks to 20357. Your shot to win $1,000 this week. It's free to enter. Seth? What?
Nobody's ever called him the Caser before.
Nobody ever called you the Sether until you did.
I know, but it's catching on like
wildfire. I like it. Yeah, see? It's an earworm. It's subliminal.
It's not the Sether. It's old Sethers.
Antibodies to you, my friend.
Antibodies and a yimmy to you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right, we're done. In the Loop is up next. We will see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. Have a great day, everybody.
Not sure where you're from? If I can find out.
Oh, no.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.